GBW Denmark, Green Bay's real news and great conversation, a civic media radio station.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. Potential violent weather brewing. There's a tornado watch for portions of Virginia, West Virginia, and Maryland into the evening hours, including the Washington, D.C. metro area. A plane crash in Tullahoma, Tennessee has injured two people. Say Tennessee law enforcers and Homeland Security. They say 16 to 20 people were on board, and some are being checked out at hospitals. 55th annual Los Angeles Pride Parade held in Hollywood today. Commander Shannon Paulson, LAPD.
We have a couple dozen personnel from the LAPD. We expected more. There would have been more, but unfortunately, deployment needs in the other areas of the city.
300 National Guard troops are now deployed in Los Angeles out of 2,000 the Trump administration says have been activated. No protests of immigration police today. Starting tomorrow, a new Trump administration travel ban takes effect. It bans citizens of 12 countries from visiting the U.S. Travelers from seven others would face restrictions. This is ABC News. Russian officials say they are waiting for confirmation from Ukraine on a planned exchange of 6,000 bodies of soldiers killed in action. A Russian negotiator says Ukraine's delaying while his country has delivered over 1,200 bodies of Ukrainian troops to a border site. Historic Tony nominations for Broadway's Biggest Night Tonight, the Tony Awards in New York, ABC's Will Gans.
Daniel Day Kim is the first Asian nominee up for leading actor in a play for his work in Yellowface. He's up against the category's first ever non-binary nominee in Cola Scola, recognized for their side-splitting work playing Mary Todd Lincoln in Oh Mary. And speaking of history,
Alexander Hamilton, where's your family from?
Hamilton is celebrating its 10th anniversary with an OG cast reunion.
Also nominated, Audra McDonald for Gypsy. Chuck Sievertson, ABC News.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
State Senator Kelda Royce.
The vast majority of people on Medicaid are already working, and it is Medicaid that makes it possible for them to work. People who are disabled or have chronic illnesses and without that health care, they would be out of the workforce. They would have no ability to participate in the economy, and now they can. Medicaid is one of the greatest workforce programs this country has ever built, and they are trying to dismantle it, and with it, they're going to take people's lives and economic security.
The Todd Allbaugh Show. Weekdays 2 to 4 on your local civic media radio station. And on the app.
Here's the deal. We gotta set ourselves up. See, retirement is the long game. We gotta make moves and make them early. Set up goals. Don't worry about a setback. Just save up and stack up to reach them. Let's put ourselves in the right position. Pre-game to greater things.
Start building your retirement plan at thisispretirement.org. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. As federal electric vehicle incentives face potential rollbacks, a new study is highlighting the burden of gasoline costs on Black and Latino drivers. Here's Judith Ruiz-Branch.
The Fuel Equity Report shows Blacks and Latinos are super users of gasoline, spending on average 15% of their paycheck to fuel their cars. The median household income for Blacks and Latinos in Wisconsin is between $31,000 and $46,000. Dr. Shelley Francis with EV Hybrid Noir says systemic factors like disinvestment in public transportation, economic segregation, and long commute times all contribute to the disproportionate impact.
They're also more likely on average to be driving these older, less fuel efficient cars due to income as well as financing barriers that they may experience.
The study says EV adoption could save Blacks and Latinos an average of $4,900 a year on fuel and maintenance, but barriers like affordability, charging access, and education persist. The report found the top 10% of Black and Latino gasoline users are generally concentrated in smaller cities and rural areas. The study suggests targeted policies to encourage equitable adoption of EV for Black and Latino communities, including enhancing purchase incentives, expanding financing options, and increasing charging infrastructure in communities where top gasoline users live. Francis says addressing the big misinformation gap about EVs is also crucial.
pushing more of those types of stories out there to show like the everyday driver. It's not some fancy person living out in a castle somewhere. And it's just regular folks who are trying to work, make ends meet, and provide for their families.
For Wisconsin News Connection, I'm Judith Ruiz Branch. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
And this is Civic Media News. I'm Savannah Tome Olson.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Some showers and storms around for your Sunday. We'll have gusty winds and highs today in the lower 70s. For the overnight, showers and storms still around. Overnight lows will drop to the upper 40s to lower 50s. More rain chances into Monday. It's 60 at our studios.
Maggie Dawn.
At 5 p.m., I'll be joined with UW Wisconsin Law School professor Aaron Barbato to talk about immigration processes. We dispel myths and give you the real scoop.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
Tom Hartman here. You're listening to 97.9 WGBW.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Hello and welcome to the Dr. Kristen Lierley Show. I'm your host, Dr. Kristen Lierley, and I biked to work today because it's bike week.
I was kind of surprised to see that. I'm not going to lie to you. I was like, you bike everywhere, don't you?
Hey, I as much as I can. It is so nice outside, though. It's like finally we've hit that point where it's warm and it's...
Yeah, you still wouldn't see me doing that. Would not be doing that.
And that is the luscious voice of Todd Michaels, who is producing our show today. Hey, guess what we're going to talk about? We're talking about Pride.
Yeah.
It's Pride Month. It's June. And there are no better advocates to talk about Pride in Northeast Wisconsin than my friends who are here today. I've got Dana Johnson. Jackson, I almost said. That's Dana good. Johnson. I've only known you for 5 years. Dana Johnson, who is the president and lead organizer with Fox Valley Pride. Welcome, yes. Dana.
Good morning. Thanks for having me, Kristen. It's good to see you.
And you brought along a friend of yours, Mel Davis, who is the executive director of Rainbow Alliance Advocacy. Welcome, Mel.
Hi. Thank you so much for having me. And thanks, Dana, for inviting me.
Of course.
You know, it's all about connection. Connection and conversation and uplifting each other. And that is what Dana has done in my life.
I try. And again, our community, particularly the LGBTQIA2S+ community, we need to band together, right? And so the opportunity for us to do that, bring shared voices to the table is awesome.
It is awesome.
Yeah.
And you just rattled out an acronym.
Yes.
That was a lot of fun.
And I do it very quickly. You know,
you do it. Like,
say
I
it a lot.
I got lost at the end there.
Okay.
So maybe just keeping in mind that our audience is probably not as knowledgeable as you or me. Definitely not the two of you. So can we start with the acronym and start with some just common basic definitions?
Sure, we can go quickly through that if you want. You want me to
ready.
Start or you
Let's
want to start?
It. Slow it down, though.
Okay.
Say it slower.
So L, lesbian.
So that means?
Generally, when you have a female gendered woman attracted and or emotionally and romantically involved with someone who is also a lesbian or female.
L.
Yeah, so generally female identifying people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. G, gay. So males in general.
Same
although,
thing, but
same
males.
Deal. Identifying, although sometimes, yeah, generally that's what we think.
Gay, although, can be all-encompassing.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So I tend to use gay as, like, all the letters because it's a very simple way of just saying everyone.
Yeah.
Because
it gets, like, the acronym gets long. And I think for a lot of people, they don't exactly know. And that we should definitely talk about discomfort that people have when they're talking with folks from the community and they're not wanting to make mistakes and so that they're afraid to enter into these conversations. Yeah. So it's helpful to know that it's okay just to say gay.
For sure.
And typically.
And I think the order, it sort of matters in a way. The order matters.
It does matter.
And most people, you know, LGB, so then we got bisexual. And then we have transgender.
Wait, bisexual.
That's me.
Tell us about you, Mel. What does it mean?
Bisexual is when you are either romantically or sexually attracted to more than one gender. And it doesn't necessarily mean just two. It means simply more than one.
Mm-hmm.
And that can be anything, really.
That's confusing because
it depends on the person.
But bi, I mean, if the etymology of the word means two.
Right.
It does. And that's and that can be confusing for people, especially. And that's why a lot of people use pansexual as well, because pansexual does mean all encompassing. Mm-hmm. The difference between bisexual and pansexual is that for people who are bisexual, gender does play a role. Mm-hmm. So where someone might be attracted to, let's say someone who is masculine identifying and masculine presenting, as well as feminine presenting and feminine identifying, a pansexual person does not care whatsoever mm-hmm. in any way.
It's about the person, not their gender or how they identify.
Right. So not to say that a bisexual person necessarily does have those parameters, but, you know, they can. Yeah. So that's the general premise about why they're different.
And I think we have to go back to the original kind of social construct of, mm-hmm. of humanity, although not in all cultures, right? But in Western culture in particular, we have a history of just saying there's either male or female. So when you think about bisexuality, it really stems from the bi side of that dichotomy of male-female gender. So, mm-hmm. and again, sometimes we're emboldened by these terms because they were used to oppress us. So when we get to the T, we have transgender, and then we get to Q, right? We have queer. And a lot of times people are like, oh, we shouldn't use the queer word because that mm-hmm. was a word, you know, kind of used as a slur back in the day. But we do know that a lot of times when people feel oppressed for who they are, they then are emboldened by those terms and then use that term. Mm-hmm. And again, queer was much more encompassing because people wanted to identify kind of it before pansexual was a thing. Before,
yeah, that's fairly new.
Yeah, before a lot of those other words, that was generally just the piece that people hung on to.
Mm-hmm. And originally queer was actually a positive thing. Mm-hmm. So there are some words out there that began as negatives, stay negatives. And myself, I generally won't use those as powerful, you know, let's take back that word. I don't, you know, bag on anyone who does by any means if they identify that way. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But queer was actually initially a good word. It meant positive things like joy. Mm-hmm. Specifically, it was then weaponized. Uh-huh. And I grew up with it being weaponized. I was not okay with it for a very long time. And then as a grown adult, I kind of came back around full circle and was like, you know, the young people are bringing it back. And mm-hmm. actually, it's a really nice word. And it's more encompassing, just like, you know, I use the word gay all encompassing at times. By the way, not all lesbians appreciate that. Uh-huh. But queer can be all-encompassing, and it can actually give people who don't have words to explain themselves more, like if they're like, well, I don't really have any words that really explain exactly my experience, they can use the word queer to just kind of like all-encompass, well, I'm not traditional in the way that I feel, so I am a queer person.
That is the voice of Mel Davis, who is the executive director of the Rainbow Alliance Advocacy. Also joining me this morning is Dana Johnson, the president and lead organizer with Fox Valley Pride. Mel, you bring up a really good point, which is how different people interpret words in different ways, and especially when it's your identity that you're talking about. So if I'm listening to the show right now, I might be feeling like, well, how am I supposed to talk about these things with people?
I think personally, I mean, the biggest thing if you're not part of the community, right? And then, by the way, we also had the IA2S Bless, but we can get
we'll
to that
get
later.
There. Okay. Uh-huh.
I also think that when we need to wait for someone to tell us, right? It's just like you, right? Dr. Kristen Lyerly. When I first met you, you also had a hyphen in your name, right? And so there were some points I was like, oh, who is she? And is she, do I call her Dr. Lyerly? Do I call her Kristen? You know, and again, mm-hmm. knowing how people identify, it's just about asking, right? It's the same with me. People can presume I'm a gay man, whether I present male, I present, you know, more masculine, depending on how I dress and that identity. But again, I get misgendered all the time, actually, because whether it's in an email, or it's on the phone because I'm Dana Johnson, right? Mm-hmm. And most people assume that that's kind of a feminine name, which is interesting because I get a lot of misgendered literature in the mail and a lot of misgendered calls and a lot of interesting things that I'm like, oh, even my doctor gets it wrong sometimes, which is weird because it's in my medical chart. But it's one of those things that I think we just have to ask people, how do you identify? What does that feel like? And then we go from there.
Yeah, checking in is definitely key because everyone has their own experience and uses potentially different language. And even if they use the same language, for people who are not in the community, just to make things simple, mm-hmm. it's really easy to just, first of all, do it in a kind way, but also a way that's not a big deal. It's not supposed to be a big deal. Someone being a trans person, someone being a queer person, someone being a gay person or lesbian person or any other identifying factor, it's not like, hey, we want to be up in your face. We want it to be a big deal. That's not what's happening. It's really like, okay, we just really want respect. Anyone just really wants the same amount of respect that we give other people. Mm-hmm. So, you know, just saying, okay, well, what are you comfortable with? Like, do you have pronouns that you would prefer me to use for you? Or do you have pronouns that you use that I may not be familiar with? Some people have what they call preferred pronouns. A lot of people have pronouns that are, in fact, their pronouns that people may or may not expect from them based on the way they present, because identity and presentation do not have to match. Mm-hmm. And that's something that is very confusing for a lot of people, understandably, mm-hmm. who are not part of the community. It can be very confusing because colonization has really taken its toll. And what that basically means is that as a society, and Dana, I would love to hear your input on this as well. As a society, though, we've really kind of made this duality of genders, men, women. You know, in the 50s, we started doing pink and blue.
Mm-hmm. And it used to be reversed.
Right.
So when babies were born, for example, mm-hmm. it used to be the pink color was more for males mm-hmm. presenting, and then females was actually the blue. So it's interesting how that's kind of switched.
Yeah, and all the babies in dresses, like all the little boys in dresses and things yeah. like that. It was mm-hmm. really common. So we just kind of, as a society, we're like, hey, let's start doing things this very specific way. Really, we're just kind of like, people are just realizing that's kind of silly. Why are we doing this? Mm-hmm. And so just checking in with people and seeing what's comfortable for them and not making a big deal. And if you make a mistake, don't make a big deal.
Yeah.
Say, you know, excuse me, or I'm sorry. How can I do that better next time? Make a sincere effort. And
I think the
forward.
Hard part for me sometimes is when people are about to get it wrong or they're not even sure, but then they're like, oh, whatever. Right. Or they'll say things like, oh, the alphabet people or something like that. And I'm like, no. It's LGBTQ. You just stop there and say plus. If you mm-hmm. can't say the whole thing like I do, okay, great. But it's also like, okay, I got it wrong. Oops, sorry. And we laugh. Like, there's a point when it also becomes your responsibility mm-hmm. as another person to learn what that is. Mm-hmm. Right. Because we wouldn't want to continue to do that. Because it can be rather oppressive. And sometimes we're like, oh, whose responsibility is it? It's all our responsibility to understand the differences that we might have, mm-hmm. I think.
Sure. Yeah. It's okay to make a mistake.
Yeah.
But if you're repeatedly making the mistake and not learning from it, that's different. That feels like disrespect.
Yeah. It's the accountability side.
Yeah.
It's the intent, you know, versus impact.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's the idea is, you know, it doesn't have to be a big deal. And so if you're taking accountability and you're making an effort, it's not a big deal. Making mistakes are understandable. You don't have to pre-excuse yourself. Everyone knows that mistakes happen. If you just are making a sincere effort, it's actually really, really obvious. Mm-hmm. Believe it or not, it's really obvious when people are making a sincere effort. So you don't have to stress so much.
And when you were discussing pronouns a little bit there, Mel, too, the one thing I've learned, because I do this sometimes with my friends that identify with different pronouns like they or them. And again, the Oxford University has told us that is both singular and plural. So just so everyone knows that you can do that, because we had to learn it when I was in higher ed, because we learned that people would write in that person, and technically it's first person they. But what's interesting is even I sometimes get it wrong, or I misgender my friends that are in these communities because of how my brain thinks that they're presenting mm-hmm. versus what they're actually identifying as. So I just replace it with their name, mm-hmm. right? Instead
That's
of saying
an
they
easy way to
or
do
he
it.
Or she, I'll just be like, Mel said this and mm-hmm. Mel did that and Mel's coming over and Mel.
Yeah,
and it's
getting
so
into
much
those habits
easier
is great.
Just to say the name.
Yeah.
And it's
you know?
So much more personal.
Yeah.
Because I get confused with they. Because when I grew up in English class, they was a plural thing. Mm-hmm. And if you used they instead of he or she, your hand was slapped.
Well, sure. Unless you were talking about someone whose gender you didn't know.
Right, that's true. Yes.
When you're talking, and that's really the whole point here. Because if we're talking about the police officer who gave us a ticket, But you don't know who it was because it was a parking ticket, right? Well, that person did blah, blah, blah. They gave me a ticket, right?
Yeah. Well, this is amazing. We did not get to all of the letters. But when we come back, Pride might be new to our audience, but it is not a new thing to Northeast Wisconsin. And sure, we're going to talk about the history of Pride right here in our own backyard.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Matt Nair on air.
Remembering Vietnam, brought to you by The Dispensary.
We started getting shot at, so we're running and shooting and diving into the ditches and getting up and running some more. We get to the bodies and it dawns on me, how in the hell are we supposed to carry them back? The captain says, give me your rifles. So we picked them up and started carrying them back. We were scared out of our minds. They were still shooting at us. How they missed, I do not know. They must have thought we were nuts. We got about a quarter mile back and somebody had decided, to hell with it. Let's go back there and get the truck and pick them up. That was a bad day. I was so scared going back there and trying to carry them, I couldn't even think about what was going on. Mike Brzezinski, United States Army, Vietnam.
Hear this full story at WGBW.fm. Click on Remembering Vietnam. Brought to you by The Dispensary. Online at thed8dispensary.com.
Looking for food, fun, and live music this summer? Head to Area 509 in Appleton with Caribbean Taste. Every Friday, enjoy a food truck rally from 5 to 8 p.m. with live music from 5:30 to 7:30. Starting June 1st, don't miss the Triple S Market every Sunday, 1 to 5. Sip, shop, and sing with local vendors, open mic, and rotating food trucks. And mark your calendar for June 14th. It's Second Saturday Music with Luminati from 6 to 10 p.m. It's all happening at 1025 North Badger Avenue. Come join the fun.
It's officially graduation time, and kids are excited. So let's get some of that energy out, shall we? It's Amanda with another new WISCO 411 for you, brought to you by Area 509 in Appleton. And on Monday, June 9th, from noon until 8 p.m., enjoy some end of school fun at the Funset Boulevard Entertainment Center with free access to the train, playground, bumper cars, carousel, and laser tag. That's one way to celebrate a great year at school. Check it out by going to WGBW.FM and clicking events.
Every 15 seconds, someone is diagnosed with cancer. If it's happened to you or someone you love, the American Cancer Society can help at every step of the journey. Visit cancer.org today.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back to the Dr. Kristen Lierley Show. It's me, Dr. Kristen Lierley, and we are talking about Pride with Dana Johnson, president and lead organizer with Fox Valley Pride, and the executive director of Rainbow Alliance Advocacy, Mel Davis. And before we get back to our conversation, I just wanted to highlight the music that we're listening to, because we do that with every episode. So that was a delightful group. It is Betsy Aid and the Well-Known Strangers. And they were brought to my attention actually by you, Dana.
Yeah, she and the whole band are amazing. And actually, Appleton Pride in 2023, we had Appleton Pride. 2024, we became Fox Valley Pride, and we had them perform at Fox Valley Pride in 2024. But Betsy and her group have won multiple Whammy Awards, right? Mm-hmm. Wisconsin Association Music Industry Awards. And she hails, I think, from Racine or Kenosha. I always forget which one, but kind of near my hometown. So just love Betsy Aid, and she's just amazing, an amazing person, amazing songwriter. If you listen to her lyrics, they're really in-depth about some of the struggles in particular she's had and of the community that we're talking about today. Mm-hmm. So it's really, really an intentional experience. And if you ever get to see her live, she'll bring you to tears and then she'll make you dance with joy. So she's pretty amazing.
I love that.
Yeah.
When I asked you about music, you rattled off about five different bands. Yes. And then Mel, you were like, oh, and did you remember this and this? And there's so much joy and music in the community, which so, I guess is such, yeah, it's a reflection.
So local. And there's a lot that are right here in northeastern Wisconsin, as well as, you know, Betsy travels a little bit further. But I got introduced to her starting with Myla Music. So she was a headliner there for a while.
There's a lot of great talent. And I love when they get to perform at Mile.
Yeah. Yeah, especially when there's queer artists.
So, oh, yeah. I got to see the Traveling Suitcase on the bus last year. And that was one of the most fun things. Yeah. It was great.
We are going to highlight Traveling Suitcase in an upcoming episode.
Yes.
Yes. Still awesome. During Pride Month.
They're fun. They're a younger band. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm new to Betsy Aid, so I'm going to have to
check her out. She's amazing. Yeah.
Yeah. And she's got lots of stuff out on YouTube. So links will be in the show notes.
I think she has a new album, actually. You should have her on the show.
That's a great idea. Okay, Todd, take notes.
Working on it.
Okay, there are a couple letters in the acronym that we did not get to define. Can we do that quickly before we talk about the history of Pride in Northeast Wisconsin?
Sure. So we said transgender. Do you want to define that?
Oh, you go ahead.
Okay.
I mean, I get into the weeds.
I mean, you go as far as you want. I think it's important. Go ahead.
I mean, this section is a little short. So. Okay. But so I actually generally, when I go to the T, I just use the word trans because there are a lot of different trans and then end of the word. And basically what that means is, I'm going to say it, anything that's not cis.
Uh-huh.
So that's something that throws a lot of people for a loop.
C-I-S.
What is cis? Not a slur. It is not a bad thing for anyone out there feeling like, oh my gosh, cisgender, a cis person is absolutely great. It's fine. It's just a person who basically, this is the way I generally put it, a person who was, here we go. When the baby is born, we get to start from the beginning. Mm-hmm. The doctor looks at the external genitalia only and says, we'll go with, it's a boy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Baby starts to grow, starts being called a young boy, is comfortable doing what our society deems as typical boy things. Likes to wear blue, for example. Mm-hmm. Likes to play with trucks. Likes to do sports. Various things like that. Is comfortable being called a boy. Is comfortable engaging in boy things. Likes to, you know, behave the way society says boys should behave.
And socially, we do that, right? Parents gave me a dumb truck. They gave me G.I. Joes, right? So they did it in a way. They gave me that to help me develop that into that sense of identity.
Right. And so the child's very comfortable. And so as they grow through teen years, same thing continues. They're still very comfortable in those ways, comfortable performing those ways, up into what then they would be considered manhood, right? Still extremely comfortable, like behaving the way that society deems that men should behave, think, you know, all the things. That is what a cisgender person is. They are comfortable with the way that society has deemed that they should behave based on the external genitalia that the doctor said, this is the way the person should behave when they were born, right? Doesn't matter what's inside or any other thing like that. It's just what they're looking at on the outside. Mm-hmm. So trans is literally anything else. Now, there's a little bit of controversy there because some people who are non-binary, for example, don't necessarily identify as trans.
And non-binary, not male or female, because the binary construction that we talked about earlier in the show.
Right. Or some combination of both.
Right.
But technically, if we're just really getting technical, the trans umbrella is anything that is not cisgender. It is anything where the person is not comfortable 100% with, the doctor said, you know, I have this genitalia. I'm a boy. I do all the boy things. This is how I like to be called a boy. He, him, his, all those things. So, that's basically the trans general definition there. And then we can get kind of more into more specifics later. But
what about briefly with the rest of the acronym?
Yeah. So intersexed is generally similar to what Mel was saying. Maybe a child is born with mixed genitalia, so to speak. And generally doctors and parents often make a decision right there, which you might be familiar with. Mm-hmm. But sometimes they allow a child to and the parents to decide later because they want to, whether it's a functioning genitalia to be able to produce and whatever else. But so intersexed individuals are in that category of, you know, where are we going to go? They used to have a different term as well, but
we don't use that term anymore. But it could be a mixture of chromosomes as well or internal reproductive organs.
That's one of the really hard things that I think people don't understand. And I can add as a physician that everybody doesn't have an X and a Y or an X and an X. Some people have two X's and a Y. Some people have three X's and a Y. So it can be very confusing and not nearly as straightforward as society would lead us to believe.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think the lesson to be learned here is that your letter doesn't define you and you are just a person.
Mm-hmm.
And just don't be afraid to talk to each other.
For sure.
Yeah. We didn't even get to talk about the history. We'll have to do that in our next segment.
Okay.
All right. Because we're going to come back here shortly. This is Dr. Kristen Lierley. You're listening to the Dr. Kristen Lierley Show.
The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. Potential violent weather brewing. There's a tornado watch for portions of Virginia, West Virginia, and Maryland into the evening hours, including the Washington, D.C. metro area. A plane crash in Tullahoma, Tennessee, has injured two people. Say Tennessee law enforcers and Homeland Security. They say 16 to 20 people were on board, and some are being checked out at hospitals. 55th annual Los Angeles Pride Parade held in Hollywood today. Commander Shannon Paulson, LAPD.
We have a couple dozen personnel from the LAPD. We expected more. There would have been more, but unfortunately, deployment needs in the other areas of the city.
300 National Guard troops are now deployed in Los Angeles out of 2,000. The Trump administration says have been activated. No protests of immigration police today. Starting tomorrow, a new Trump administration travel ban takes effect. It bans citizens of 12 countries from visiting the U.S. Travelers from seven others would face restrictions. This is ABC News.
A special night for the Brewers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports at AmFam Field with the Brewers and Padres weekend series wrapping up today. We'll have an update tonight. Now, last night, the Brewers winning 4-3 thanks to a walk-off home run by rookie Caleb Durbin, manager Pat Murphy.
Yeah, there was a lot of great performance tonight, both sides. It was well-pitched, and, you know, this is the type of resiliency that you got to have.
In 2021, Caleb Durbin could have only dreamed of playing for the Brewers someday while in the minor leagues in Wisconsin.
Yeah, you know, it's really cool because when I was playing in the Northwoods League in Fond du Lac, you know, I was a Division III player and playing against a lot of, you know, D1 and other divisions in that league, and that was a big opportunity for me, not really knowing if I would get a chance at the next level, but, you know, was able to get my foot in the door, and looking where I'm at now and being able to go back, you know, it puts it all in perspective.
That's the Brewers' Caleb Durbin. Game 2 of the NBA Finals is tonight. The Thunder host the Pacers, Indiana winning Game 1. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Not sure if Steve Carell has big feet, but his shoes will be tough to fill. No one knows that more than Domhnall Gleeson, who will play the boss on a new spinoff of NBC's The Office. The paper will feature the same documentary film crew from The Office, even though it was never really featured, as they record the daily happenings of a dying local newspaper, and it will be brought to you by the same team that brought you the American version of The Office. Gleeson, the son of actor Brendan Gleeson, knows the challenges he faces. The actor said he recently received encouraging words from Carell's Office co-star, John Krasinski, who reassured the actor that he was in great hands with executive producer Greg Daniels. Daniels successfully rebooted Ricky Gervais and Stephen Merchant's show of the same title from the UK. Although the title is different, the challenges faced in the paper are the same faced by those who ran a fictitious paper company. There is no release date yet, but the paper will premiere in September on Peacock. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Some showers and storms around for your Sunday. We'll have gusty winds and highs today in the lower 70s. For the overnight, showers and storms still around. Overnight lows will drop to the upper 40s to lower 50s. More rain chances into Monday. Currently 62 degrees.
Matt and Air on Air.
Rick Reed is here, an economics instructor.
Remember the film, Planes, Trains, and Automobiles? A driver is riding parallel to him and honking their horn saying, "You're going the wrong way." And Candy and Steve Martin go, "Ha, ha, ha, how do they know where we're headed?" Congress and the administration are saying, "This is what we're going to do for our budget." But at the end of the day, the Congressional Budget Office basically said that bill is going to create another $3.8 trillion in debt over the next 10 years.
Matt and Air on Air. Weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Matt Miller, Milwaukee-based film critic. The film Sinners, the more distance I have from it, the more I liked it. Is that an Oscar film?
I think there is a love for what Sinners is doing, that a studio movie was this interesting and creative and thoughtful, but also entertaining. This is not the last you will hear about Sinners this year. I'd be shocked if it doesn't get a Best Picture nomination.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Mino and the Mayor.
On Monday, we'll get our forecast for the week from Brittany Merlot, and we'll be on point with Kristen Ambles.
Plus, Beth Kowalski joins us from the Neville Public Museum, and Emily Smith stops by from the Greater Green Bay YMCA. Join us.
Weekday mornings, 6 till 9.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back to the Dr. Kristen Lierley Show. I'm Dr. Kristen Lierley, and I'm here with Dana Johnson, president and lead organizer with Fox Valley Pride, and the executive director of Rainbow Alliance Advocacy, Mel Davis. We're talking about Pride. It's June, so it's all about Pride. If you missed the beginning of our conversation, you can always find it wherever you get your podcasts, and you can always find me here on Saturdays and Sundays at 3 on WGBW and WISS, and of course, streaming on the Civic Media app. Do you have the Civic Media app?
I do.
Oh, it's so good.
Yes.
I mean, it
is. Is that truthful, or are you just saying that?
No, I really, I do.
So ever
since, you know, Dr. Lierley started the show, I was like, oh, what's this thing? And then I was like, oh, I've got to download this thing so I can hear the shows and all the different things and historical pieces. And,
yeah. It's so good because there's so much Wisconsin-based information there. And it's like, you know, people who are in our environment. It's Pat Kreitlow in the morning. It's Maggie Dawn. It's Milwaukee. It's Madison. It's us.
I can't wait to download it.
Yeah. Awesome. Do it.
Okay
Dana, we're going to finish up real quick with defining.
Okay, so LGBTQ, we did that. Then we did I, and then A is asexual.
Uh-huh.
That's a whole other category, which we don't have time for today. And then we have 2S+. So two-spirited plus is what the First Nation, Indigenous, Native American folks call the people that would have been in this community long time before we were ever here, Kristen, right? And just to let you know, too, there's going to be a special, the Oneida Nation powwow that's coming up June 27th through the 29th. On the 28th, they're going to have a special honoring Two-Spirit powwow experience for that community. So super excited.
It's beautiful. Again, last year was beautiful.
Yeah, and Two-Spirited, you know, again, very celebrated by our Indigenous tribes throughout the United States. And each one differs, each tribe different, but just recognizing there were two kind of connections, one in the physical realm, one in the spiritual realm. And so people in this community, LGBTQIA2S+, were considered to be kind of revered for having this, both the you know, just the majesty of who they were, because they could do all sorts of things within the tribe. And I'm not doing it well justice, but
so they would often have, like, they were typically looked at as having both masculine and feminine spirits. And it's a very, very deep, deep spiritual understanding and feeling within the person. Oftentimes they were medicine people. They were people who gave names to babies. I mean, they were extremely, you know, elders. They were extremely well.
So in my mind, they were getting it right.
Oh, absolutely. And I do want to add too, just real quick, is that A also can stand for agender and ally. Oh, not yes, everyone true. Likes that's to true. Include ally, but I do, because I feel extremely strongly that we cannot be here and as strong as we are without our allies.
Sure.
Because we are a marginalized community. Mm-hmm. We don't have the numbers. We are important. We are an important part of the, you know, society. We are an important community. We are important people. Many of us, most of us, we are loving people. And so are our allies.
That's where I fit.
Yes. You are.
Yeah. And so I always want to make sure that, at least personally, I like to include that our allies can be part of that as well, because some allies actually fit within our community as a straight cis person, and they're just with us, you know, like 100%. So
how can we be better allies?
Do you want to?
Because I think I'm doing a good job, but I know I can do better, and I don't see it from your eyes.
Education would be my first go-to. And what that means is educating on what's happening today. So, like, history is wonderful, but what
knowing what's happening today in the community is huge. Talking to the people who are part of the community, especially the trans community, mm-hmm. and even more so trans youth and trans seniors. We're looking at a lot of pain.
Yeah.
A lot of people are in some serious pain, and we're looking at a lot of pain coming forward at us. So not everyone is in a space where they can necessarily get out and, like, you know, do something, mm-hmm. you know, for whatever the reason may be. So the first step to being a good ally is to check in with people, to love them and to believe them. Mm-hmm. Don't challenge people. Someone says, I'm being attacked. Say, okay, how mm-hmm. can I help you in your situation?
How can I help?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I also think, I mean, allyship comes in many forms as males identifying. I think, you know, supporting causes like we're going to, you know, we think about Fox Valley Pride Fest. There's mm-hmm. the new Pride Fest in Green Bay. There's Oshkosh Pride. And then there's all these smaller community events. Attending as an ally, you yeah. can go. We mm-hmm. want you with us, right?
Yes, always.
And always. Or if you can add a rainbow flag to your house, so I'm not the only one. So I'm not the only one, you know, everyone's yeah. looking at or perhaps targeting, you know, uh-huh. those sorts of things. And just being someone that stands up and not be a bystander, right? And there's so many things going on with legislation across the nation that I also think we need people to write the letters, send the postcards, and go to the town halls if that's your level of advocacy. Because I can't do it alone, right? If we've got 365 million people in this country, and 10% maybe, if we just go by that number, 36 million of us are in this acronym, you know, that's not enough mm-hmm. to help further what I would like to call living.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and if so, something that a lot of people who are not part of the community don't necessarily know, by the way, the numbers are actually much greater. People who are part of the community who are not out, is the number is large. Yeah. If you are really talking about real reality, it's probably closer to 30%. Mm-hmm. If you don't know someone in your own friend group, or you don't know someone in your own family who identifies as LGBTQ+ or LGBTQIA2S+, you are probably not a safe person.
Mm-hmm. And, or they're not ready. They don't feel comfortable.
Well, that's
because of the environment that they are in.
Let me be more clear. So when I say that, I don't mean that you yourself are not safe. What I mean is that they don't feel like they are safe yet.
Right. Yes. Right.
So that I said that poorly. Pardon me, please. I would like to rephrase and say that... that person or those people, because sometimes we say things that we don't realize we're saying.
Yes, because they're the things, they're the dominant messages in our culture, and we reinforce these messages, mm-hmm. not even realizing that we're doing it.
Yeah.
And I just want to mention, I'm here with Dana Johnson, the president and lead organizer with Fox Valley Pride, and speaking, you hear the executive director of Rainbow Alliance Advocacy, Mel Davis. Continue your thought, please.
So some of the most important things also for allyship is really being aware of how we're talking, mm-hmm. like being aware of the things that we're saying. So, for example, parents and family members, especially if you're wanting to be allies, having political conversations around your youth is not advisable. Even if you feel like you are saying things that are positive, it can come across negatively if you're not knowing where your youth is standing. Mm-hmm. If you are uncomfortable using they, them, their pronouns and you exclaim that in front of another person, that in and of itself can make a person feel like, okay, this is not someone I can come out to.
Mm-hmm. And I remember, you know, Kristen, I shared with you a long time ago when we first met kind of my coming out story, but you know, I knew around age 5, right?
I was six.
I knew there was this kid down the street, Billy, and he was just, you know, there was just something about it. I couldn't explain it. I didn't know what the terms were, right? But I remember feeling that same thing at 7 and then 10 and then 12. But, you know, my parents, while they were supporting a little bit later on in life, when I wanted to watch a movie, I remember the first gay movie, theme movie that I watched was The Birdcage, but I watched it at a friend's house, right? Great movie. But I watched it at a friend's house. This is 1990s, right?
Yeah.
And I came home and I told them about it and they were like, you can't watch films like that. Mm. So immediately the message was, Dana, if you are even part of that community, mm-hmm. we're not your people.
And that's probably right? not what they meant to say, but it's
censorship
so,
begins it.
It's complicated. Yeah. It's hard. And again, we don't sometimes realize the messages that we are putting out into the world until we stop and think about, oh, wait a minute, this actually means this to the person I'm talking to.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and little things for, especially if we're talking about, like if we're talking about gender nonconforming, non-binary or trans children, anything along those lines, they can know as early as 3, not to say that everyone does, by mm-hmm. the way, but they might. And saying things like, oh, you have to wear a pink dress because you're a little girl, or you can't wear a pink dress because you're a little boy. Those things, again, like Dana
That's
said, are those. Yeah, those are the situations where we're telling our youth, you are not accepted. Mm. And those are the things where our youth are going, oh, maybe I can't actually say my truth to this person in my life. Not to say that later on they'll still feel that way. They could eventually feel totally differently, especially if later on you're like, oh, my message was maybe not so great. I'm going to do a little better. Mm-hmm. I'm going to just keep trying to do a little better here, a little better there, just keep doing better. They'll see it. Mm-hmm. They'll absolutely see it. And then you can become that safe person, that person that they confide in.
So you mentioned that we know about 10% of the people in the United States identify
10 to 30. We'll keep it somewhere in there.
I was going to say, but there, it could be 20% more. So there are plenty of people in Northeast Wisconsin who are part of this community. Yes. I was shocked when I looked at the history of Wisconsin, and this is like brief, but the Neville Museum has a wonderful online resource that looks at the national, state, and regional history of the community. We were a leader. I mean, it was Governor Dreyfus who signed a bill into law back in 1982, making Wisconsin the first state in the nation providing anti-discrimination protections for gay, lesbian, and bisexual people in housing, employment, and public accommodations.
Isn't that fun? Most
That's
people don't
Wisconsin.
Know that.
That's Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Isn't that fun? Yeah. Well, but somehow we still don't have those same protections for trans people. That kind of blows my mind.
And we're trying to take them away, right? Mm-hmm. There are things that have happened before and since then that have essentially done that. And even people in the state of Wisconsin, after marriage equality was a federal push, there was going to be a federal push, and states were moving towards that. In the state of Wisconsin, if you remember, in 2006, we decided to add to the Wisconsin Constitution. Well, I didn't decide that, but other people did. It was like a 51-49% vote, right? Yeah, that they decided that a marriage could only be between a husband and a wife, which is a huge issue when it comes to I work in the child welfare system, right? And at the policy level, which becomes a huge problem when we can only have this male and this female parent either adopting children or having parental rights and things like that, becoming foster parents, you know. So I think it's interesting that we went that far so early. And then as all social movements happen, right, there's a wave of growth, and then there's a pushback and a wave of growth. And we saw this in the women's liberation movement. We saw it in kind of Black Power and African-American and having rights in those spaces, right, moving forward and then pushback. So I think I'm hopeful that all the pushback we're getting in our transgender community right now, hopefully, will then get over those hurdles, move us forward to a greater spot. And all just because people want to survive, all because people want to live. And it's so interesting. And when you think about that 10 to 30%, I think it's interesting the legislation happening, particularly around trans youth and trans sports, that kind of get me like, if you were to take the number of the 10%, 36 million, and let's just say 1% were transgender, it's probably more than that. I mean, we're looking at 364,000 people, maybe 700,000 people in the United States. Then you have all the kids that would actually be in a sport, which is probably maybe 30,000, you know, ineligible, right? And so we're literally legislating across the country for 30,000 potential kids. That just seems crazy, right?
We know that it is crazy and it has nothing to do with that.
It's just so weird.
Yeah.
So weird.
Hey, this conversation is way too good and way too interesting. We only have one segment left. But when we get to that segment, let's talk about some of the things that are happening across the region with regards to Pride. Valley Pride here in Green Bay, down in Oshkosh. There's so much good stuff happening. So if people want to jump on board like they should, we'll show them how. This is Dr. Kristen Lierley. You are listening to the Dr. Kristen Lierley Show.
It amazes me how I can still feel that breeze rush right through me.
Remembering Vietnam, brought to you by The Dispensary.
May of 1969, I was near Dak Tho in Vietnam. Up until then, except for a few rockets and mortars, everything was pretty calm. But then things changed. We started getting ground assaults. Seemed like almost every night, many times, they would probe the perimeter. Then they got inside. I don't know how many times, but they started bringing heavy stuff. 122-millimeter rockets. These things were 6 feet long and huge in diameter. All they did was prop them up on a tripod somewhere in the jungle and fire them like a giant bottle rocket. You would hear the whoosh when it was fired, then thump, thump. If you're on guard duty in the main tower looking out into the jungle, you could see a puff of smoke. Then you'd see them coming in. Mike Brzezinski, United States Army, Vietnam.
Hear this full story at WGBW.FM. Click on Remembering Vietnam. Brought to you by The Dispensary. Online at thed8dispensary.com.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. In discussions over the so-called Big Beautiful Bill, backed by Donald Trump, that's making its way through Congress, none other than Wisconsin Senator Ron Johnson has emerged as the most prominent Republican critic of the bill, saying at a recent Milwaukee Press Club event that it is, quote, not even close to adequate. Johnson has said he wants spending cuts to go even further, including making cuts to Medicaid. But Johnson's position as a critic of this bill makes him especially influential in these negotiations. But let's not forget the last time he was in a similar position. In 2017, he was a critic of the Trump tax cut bill, but what he fought for was a tax break for certain types of businesses, perhaps not coincidentally, businesses owned by his largest donors, Dick and Liz Uline. In 2018 alone, the Ulines received more than $200 million in tax breaks because of this bill. So as the Big Beautiful Bill is negotiated in the Senate, let's not forget this piece of recent history.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area.
It's June Dairy Month, and though more than 5 million people call Wisconsin home, we share our state with close to 1.5 million cows. Those beautiful animals. Okay, I grew up on a dairy farm outside of Green Bay. They've been here since before we became a state. Can you answer this? Most of our cow's milk currently makes which product? Is it butter, cheese, or ice cream? The answer coming up. Wisconsin's first official milk plant. 1894 in the Waupun area of Fond du Lac County. Fast forward more than 120 years, now farmer-owned with a second location in the Outagamie County village of Black Creek, the Saputo plant is even featured on History Channel's Modern Marvels for its award-winning cheesemaking. So did you guess? Most of her cow's milk, 90% of it currently makes cheese. Gouda for you. Celebrating our dairy farmers with this slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back to the Dr. Kristen Lierley Show. I am Dr. Kristen Lierley, and we're talking about Pride with Dana Johnson, president and lead organizer with Fox Valley Pride, and Mel Davis, the executive director of Rainbow Alliance Advocacy. This has been such an enlightening conversation, and I really, truly can't thank you both enough for sharing your experiences and helping us navigate conversations that are awkward sometimes. And challenging, and maybe giving some of us the tools to be able to have conversations in spaces where we haven't felt comfortable. I'm talking about allies.
Yeah.
Thank
you
for having us.
Yeah, and I would say thanks for having it. And also, we do not speak for the entirety of the community, and we particularly are BIPOC, you know, individuals and what they experience and the intersectionality that's part of that experience. So also recognizing we represent Dana and Mel and our experiences in however many years we've been here.
So Dana and Mel, there are some really great things that are happening all across the month of June, right here in Northeast Wisconsin, where, by the way, there used to be a maybe there still is, an annual summer celebration in Hilbert on a farm.
Oh, is there?
Yes.
I'm not familiar
with that one.
I know.
I don't even know where Hilbert is. I'm going to be
like
just
southeast of here. There are all of these little celebrations that have popped up. Some have popped up and gone away. Some have popped up and been persistent. You know, we've got the Napolese Lounge that is one of the... Yes. There are long-standing strongholds. And then there are these beautiful celebrations that are happening. Dana, talk to us about Valley Pride.
Yeah, so Fox Valley Pride is, this year it's June 21st,
Jones Park, Appleton, goes from 1 until 8. We actually have a pride promenade that's going to happen on College Avenue right before it.
Is so that
that's
a parade?
That's a new thing. It's not a parade. It's a walk.
Okay.
But it's a promenade. And people can sign up to do that or just show up at about 11:15 to get ready. You know, walk through the farmer's market. There's going to be a celebration at Houdini Plaza because it's Make Music Day down in Appleton. And then head over to the festival. So Fox Valley Pride's a big one. Oshkosh Pride is June 29th. And then New Pride, the one that's, you know, formerly kind of or part of Green
Northeast
Bay
Wisconsin
is Northeastern Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Is they're in September. We want to carry Pride beyond it. So they do it September 19th and 20th.
Yeah, and Ashwaubenon.
Yeah. And then there's all the other places. Sheboygan. There's like picnics in some of these communities, right? Fond du Lac. So, but Fox Valley Pride.
When Green Bay Stevens had a flag point. Raising they over did. The weekend, yep. which is such a huge deal. I don't know if you know about this, but WELLO is an organization here in Green Bay. And we just received this Culture of Health Prize for doing exactly this, for elevating vulnerable populations. And part of that was Green Bay has a perfect score when it comes to supporting our LGBTQ plus
the
community.
MEI score.
Yes. Right. Now, it's a score. And it definitely doesn't mean we're
there. It factors in a lot of things.
But yeah. We've come so far.
Yeah. Very far. From a few years ago, it was only like 60-something. So it's come a long way.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And I think you were just about to say there are also celebrations in Fond du Lac and Wausau and Sheboygan.
So many. Central Wisconsin Pride. Stevens
Central
Point
Wisconsin
Pride.
Pride.
Yeah, Milwaukee Pride is this weekend actually coming up.
Yes.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Madison. Hudson.
Who knows? Everywhere.
Who knows? Yeah, mm-hmm. This is the time.
Too few Saturdays.
Every single weekend in June, people are like, you want to do something in June? I'm like, no.
Yeah.
I'm going to work every day. We're cool.
I think what's really important, there's two things really important, right? Just so people, like I love the American flag. I love the Pride flag. Mm-hmm. The Pride flag is a cultural flag. It's not this other like everyone should be this way. We're trying to push this on to people. It's a cultural flag that celebrates and also identifies A, there's a culture and there's been this oppressive thing that's happened and people have been discriminated. So it's kind of representing of that. The other thing that's interesting is just this idea. Pride Month is here because of the things that have happened, the historical things like at the Stonewall in 1969. But before that, there was a food fight in Compton, L.A. That's actually so coast to coast. There were challenges in the 60s. Mm-hmm. And so just recognizing that it's Pride Month. And if you're not into it, you don't have to be. No, right? And there's many other things that you can celebrate. But it's here because there are people that it is a culture. It's and people don't recognize it often as a culture. They use all these other terms for it. So just want to highlight that's for me, that's why it's important.
So like kind of the same way as like there's Irish Fest or German, like Oktoberfest.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's Pride.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and it helps to. So in my eyes, even though there's a lot more to it, this is really just kind of being really simplistic as possible. Mm-hmm. It's a celebration of acceptance and love.
Oh, yes. Say that one more time really loud.
So for me, it's a celebration of acceptance and love.
Yeah.
And I don't mean love like sexuality. I mean love like really appreciating our neighbors, really appreciating our family, the people who are around us, and accepting them for who they are without boundaries or limitations. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we don't agree with that. I admit sometimes I struggle with accepting some of the people in my life for other reasons. Mm-hmm. But it's really meant to be just that in my mind.
And to that point, though, I also think so people ask me, like, why do you do Fox Valley Pride, for example? Because sometimes we take a little bit of heat as the organizers. Some people reach out to us. They send us letters and basically saying we're terrible people. We should, you know, and they use a lot of religiosity in that. But I will tell you, when I show up to that festival and I've done this work for a year, it's a year worth of planning. And I've got 10 people on this planning committee. When I show up, and there's someone that says they're 68 years old and they say, this is the first Pride I've ever been to. I can finally be myself.
Yeah.
Or I have the 8-year-old that says, my mom brought me because we recognize that all people should be loved, respected,
yes.
and have rights. Mm-hmm. And I look at that and I get chills and I think to myself, this is why we do it.
And
love.
Yeah. And what Dana's talking about is real. I experienced that at all of our events as well. I mean, I just recently had a 68-year-old trans woman who's just transitioning talk to me about
not even knowing what Pride was. I told her about Pride Month and she said, what is that? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just amazing.
Well, she has lots of opportunities to learn about it this June. Mel, Dana, I honestly cannot thank you enough.
Thank you so much for having us. It's been an honor, for sure.
Happy Pride, friends.
Yes. Happy Pride.
All right. If you missed any of our conversation, you can catch it on civicmedia.us or wherever you get your podcasts. And don't forget to come back every Saturday and Sunday at 3 on WGBW in Green Bay, WISS in Appleton and Oshkosh, and streaming on the Civic Media app. We'll see you next time. Sweet thing that I adore. I think that you could light up my soul.
This is 97.9 WGBW Denmark, Green Bay's real news and great conversation, a Civic Media radio station.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. Millions in the U.S. under potentially dangerous weather alerts, a tornado watch for parts of Virginia, West Virginia, and Maryland into the evening, including the Washington, D.C. metro area. It was a skydiving plane that crashed today in Tullahoma, Tennessee, says the police department. Two people hurt, say Tennessee law enforcers and Homeland Security. They say 20 people were on board. On the sometimes violent protests against immigration raids, White House border czar Tom Homan tells NBC News that ongoing violent rhetoric could lead to loss of life. ABC's Alex Stone in Los Angeles.
In front of a line of armed National Guard troops protecting a federal building in downtown L.A., a small group of protesters yell at the guardsmen to go home.
Protests so far confined to just a few blocks of downtown L.A. and Paramount, a town south of Los Angeles. Iran's intelligence minister claims without evidence that they've seized documents on Israel's nuclear program. This is ABC News. The 50-